Now, in the UK, there's a new type of learning on offer, a vocational tertiary course. It's called the degree apprenticeship. It's a combination of working as an apprentice and studying at university to grasp the theory behind your trade, which could be anything from public relations to aerospace engineering. The motivating idea is the bringing together of academic and vocational education, and we urgently need something like that here, will argue one of our guests. Professor Stephen Parker said in an article for The Conversation this week that times have changed since Australia's current higher education system was devised, and that it's not sustainable as is. He's now lead partner for education at the accounting and consulting firm KPMG and an honorary professorial fellow at Melbourne University's Centre for the Study of Higher Education. And joining us from Sardinia, where he's on holiday, lucky thing, is Professor Martin Dole, Professor of Leadership in Further Education and Skills at the University College London, in an area where this debate is really heating up. Welcome to you both.
Hello,
morning, Geraldine.
Am I right, just to kick us off, is the debate around this really heating up in the UK?
Yeah, it really is taking off, Geraldine. I think we're at kind of what we might call an inflection point where we're thinking now more about technical and professional education to complement the more long-standing focus around academic education.
So how does this degree apprenticeship work, introduced by David Cameron, Prime Minister, in 2015?
It works around an apprenticeship standard which is established with employers, but universities and colleges, or the equivalent of TAFE institutes, can provide the off-the-job education and training to complement what the apprentice is learning in the workplace.
So does it resemble the old trade apprenticeship system, or how much does it differ? Maybe that's the better way to ask you the question.
It should resemble the trade apprenticeships. I'm actually more comfortable with the title an apprenticeship at degree level, emphasising the apprenticeship characteristics, which are that the apprentice is clearly employed, that the content within the study is worked out with the employer to meet the employer's requirements, and that the learning off the job allows the apprentice to interpret the learning and build on the learning they have in the job.
So it's for
a much more integrated model rather than simply going do a degree and then going to the workplace.
So it's 4 days learning, 1 day on the job, I read.
Yeah, typically it's 20% off the job, so you convert that into 1 day off the job, but it can be taken in block patterns rather than just at 1 day each week. But effectively it's 20% of the time is off the job and 80% is on the job.
And a course has to be approved by an employer group, and the university or college has to work closely with that employer group, and the student has to be employed. So there are quite distinct areas, boundaries, aren't there?
There are, and I think that's very important, lest we again revert to an academic model. There are lots of examples around the world where you have sandwich courses where the individual might be employed and going off to university to do a degree, but they're not integrated and interrelated, and the content within the degree is not related and determined by the employer.
And are there fees attached?
There are no fees for the apprentice. The apprentice is paid while studying, and the cost of the tuition fees are picked up by the government. In the UK also, in England, we've just introduced an apprenticeship levy, which provides an amount of the funding required to underwrite the degree apprenticeships. So large employers with a payroll of over £3 million per year pay 0.5% of that payroll to an apprenticeship levy, which they then can reclaim for the costs of the training in the apprenticeship.
Goodness, this is a really dramatic shift. No debt for the student at all. Stephen Parker, would this be good in an Australian context?
I certainly think it needs looking at. I've been following it since it was first announced. I think Australian higher or tertiary education is getting itself into a right old muddle. The business model of its institutions is not sustainable in the long term. And we have a looming skills crisis as well. And also, I think it is time that we reconceptualise the difference between academic and vocational learning. And so possibly nothing overseas directly translates, but it's definitely something I think we should have a good hard look at.
Why is this necessary to reconceptualise it?
Well, if you look at our university system, there is more and more work-integrated learning sort of tacked on, bolted onto degrees, which is actually becoming quite expensive. But the employment rate of graduates seems to be going down. The premium on gaining a degree is certainly going down. In other words, the earnings advantage. So at the university end, I think things are heading into trouble. And then, as you've intimated, our TAFE system's been through terrible woes over the years. Some now offer degrees but don't have access to the full access to the student loan scheme. It's all a bit of a mess. And we're heading towards a future world of work caused, no doubt, by the so-called fourth industrial revolution. And we're not doing anything to redesign our tertiary system to equip us for it. So something like this, I think, needs a good hard look. It flips the model. It has training and on-the-job experience first, but co-designed with universities so that the study wraps around it. I think it's got a lot, at least, to be investigated.
I think you wrote recently, the future of work is about skills more than knowledge. That's a very big statement.
It is. I'm not alone in making it. So there are numerous lists of so-called 21st century skills that are going to be required. And as more and more routine jobs and rule-based tasks are replaced by automation, robots, machine learning, and so on, it's going to be the skills of critical thinking, resilience, emotional intelligence, and so on that are going to be keeping people in satisfying work. So skills are rising to the surface, if you like, in priority, and knowledge, which is out of date so quickly these days, is going to reside in systems and automation and so on. So it's back to the qualities of the person. And I don't see university degrees particularly getting ready for that kind of shift.
Gee, Martin Dole, I don't know, where's knowledge in all that? And I suppose knowledge and wisdom and insight, which I thought used to be the yield of a good education at the university.
I think those still things can still, will still occur in a university. I think we're talking about something that complements the traditional model. The way I think I like to think about it is that if you're in the workplace and you're learning a set of skills, you're then going off to the college or the university to have the theoretical tools and the conceptual tools to be able to understand your experience, to reinterpret it, and then become innovative in the workplace. So if I learned to fly when I was in the Air Force, I was taught how to fly by somebody showing me how to fly the aircraft. When I landed, I was introduced to the theories of aeronautics and actually the physics that underwrote why I was flying, which enabled me then, when I went back to continue to learn to fly, to reinterpret my experience and to build on it and to actually get better in what I was doing, with the integrated nature of the learning and using the theory to actually understand my practice in the workplace. And that's, I think, the really critical thing about a new approach to this. It's, and in Stephen's kind of language, it's the knowledge and skills being integrated and one supporting the other in a way which doesn't occur in a traditional academic degree.
You were Vice Chancellor of the University of Canberra, Stephen, for 9 years until last year. Would you have liked to offer a course like this apprenticeship degree?
Yeah, and like some other universities, we were heading in that direction with more practicums and internships and campus development that would bring employers onto campus so that students could work with them as part of their course. So, you know, we were evolving, I think, rapidly in that direction. But that would have been grafting it onto the existing system. So students would still have been graduating with, I think, crippling levels of debt. I think a generation of young Australians is going to be saddled with something awful. And this is a new kind of idea which is co-funded by government and employers. And I think it's that which attracts me. And I fully agree with Martin about the integration of the theory and the experience together. This sort of praxis-based approach, I think, has got a lot to commend it.
In fact, the University of Tasmania, we notice, is now offering a modified degree. It's called an associate degree. It's cheaper and quicker. Do you know how that's going?
Well, they haven't started, as I understand it. And there are some other associate degrees around the country, but in many respects, they are just the first 2 years of a bachelor degree. What I understand about the UK or England and Wales's degree apprenticeships is, as Martin was saying, that it is based in the workplace and that study is wrapped around and integrated with it. Now, that isn't necessarily an associate degree, but an associate degree might be a good framework to try it.
See, Martin, you have strong... Go on, yep.
I might stand a little warning note here, and I think it picks up on Stephen's last remarks. If this becomes simply the case of a traditional university degree being broken down to a large number of modules that students study on their day off from the workplace, the day away from work, that's not it. What really must be the case is the content must be built with the employer, and the employer must be defining the standard that's required in the workplace, and the content must be optimized for that requirement. It's not simply the case of just taking a degree and delivering it to somebody who's in work. That's not a bad thing, but it's not an apprenticeship.
So what I'm hearing, Martin, is that this is very much about employers' needs. Now, I thought the whole call, or almost vocation of a university, was to extend the student beyond the present day, the utilitarian needs of the society, and to actually extend them where the society didn't even necessarily know it was going. Are you sort of raffling that, are you?
I think I'm saying that the theoretical studies that the student receives or the apprentice receives on their day away from the workplace gives them those tools to reinterpret their experience and to go beyond the day-to-day practice. But that must be rooted in the today. It is an instrumental form of learning. It's not learning for its own sake. That sounds dismissive and makes it feel like lesser status. It's different. It's approached in a different manner. It's learning with a purpose rather than simply extending and developing the capacities of the learner. So the apprentice is employed. The apprentice does add extra skills to the workplace. It will be innovative, but we'll do that on the basis of real deep expertise and understanding of the job and their craft or their profession rather than from a theoretical perspective.
Interesting. I mean, Stephen, you actually write that ironically, these degree apprenticeships are a modern, more work-intensive version of the associate degrees that colleges of advanced education offered before the higher education system was unified under the Hawke government in 1989.
Yeah, there are similarities.
Sort of back to the future, is it?
Not entirely. There is something really, I think, novel and innovative about what I understand degree apprenticeships to be. But I'd go back to an earlier point you made, Geraldine. You're right, there is that ideal of a university, but there have also been parallel institutions about practical learning at the highest level. I think the Royal Polytechnic Institute in London, founded in the mid-19th century, was about practical learning at a mastery level. So, you know, there have been other traditions which possibly we've lost sight of.
Yes, in fact, I was just very quickly, there was a splendid piece by Alison Wolfe, Professor of Public Sector Management at King's College London, recently in Prospect magazine, reprinted here in Australia, in which she gave a history of the rise and rise of the university to the extent when there are now huge numbers and huge dollars. It's quite an industry now, same in Australia. And that polytechnic system was a 50-year-long blip in history. In a way, Martin, is there a real yearning for that again?
I think there very much is, and Alison's a great colleague, and together we've used the term occasionally to call it a polytechnic-sized hole in our education system. We seem always to, in universities, to strive forward to an academic model led by research, when one that's led by teaching and by a view of real-world learning seems to be left behind. And it's interesting also, just around words, we tend now to use the term professional and technical education, rather than vocational, because in many ways the term vocational has almost become damaged in this process.
Very interesting. I think our listeners will really enjoy that conversation. I want to thank you both, Professor Stephen Parker and Professor Martin Dole.
Thank you, Geraldine.
Thank you.
And Martin is Professor of Leadership in Further Education and Skills at University College in London. Professor Stephen Parker, lead partner for education at KPMG now. And we'll post a link to that Alison Wolfe article too, reprinted in the Financial Review on August the 25th. And in fact, it has piqued your interest. We've already got some very good texts. One saying, what an interesting discussion, but not wholly new. In Sydney, the teaching of architecture courses at UTS, for instance, was always run in the manner you're discussing. Work during the day, then theory and learning dissecting done at that workplace after hours at uni. This is Anna in Melbourne. And just one more. Am I being oversensitive, Geraldine? Teaching and nursing degrees have as much or more practical component, but these female-dominated degrees charge for the privilege like a wounded bull. Yes. Interesting. I think that's really going to be a very interesting to see how that unfolds if you've been watching the sort of drama between the minister and the university leaders this week. So keep them coming. Now, in the UK, there's a new type of learning on offer, a vocational tertiary course. It's called the degree apprenticeship. It's a combination of working as an apprentice and studying at university to grasp the theory behind your trade, which could be anything from public relations to aerospace engineering. The motivating idea is the bringing together of academic and vocational education. And we urgently need something like that here, will argue one of our guests. Professor Stephen Parker said in an article for The Conversation this week that times have changed since Australia's current higher education system was devised, and that it's not sustainable as is. He's now lead partner for education at the accounting and consulting firm KPMG and an honorary professorial fellow at Melbourne University's Centre for the Study of Higher Education. And joining us from Sardinia, where he's on holiday, lucky thing, is Professor Martin Dole, Professor of Leadership in Further Education and Skills at the University College London, in an area where this debate is really heating up. Welcome to you both.
Hello,
Geraldine.
Am I right, just to kick us off, is the debate around this really heating up in the UK?
Yeah, it really is taking off, Geraldine. I think we're a kind of what we might call an inflection point where we're thinking now more about technical and professional education to complement the more long-standing focus around academic education.
So how does this degree apprenticeship work, introduced by David Cameron, Prime Minister, in 2015?
It works around an apprenticeship standard, which is established with employers, but universities and colleges, or the equivalent to TAFE institutes, can provide the off-the-job education and training to complement what the apprentice is learning in the workplace.
So does it resemble the old trade apprenticeship system, or how much does it differ? Maybe that's the better way to ask you the question.
It should resemble the trade apprenticeships. I'm actually more comfortable with the title an apprenticeship at degree level, emphasising the apprenticeship characteristics, which are that the apprentice is clearly employed, that the content within the study is worked out with the employer to meet the employer's requirements, and that the learning off the job allows the apprentice to interpret the learning and build on the learning they have in the job.
So it's a much more
integrated model rather than simply going to a degree and then going to the workplace.
So it's 4 days learning, 1 day on the job, I read.
Yeah, typically it's 20% off the job, so you convert that into 1 day off the job, but it can be taken in block patterns rather than just at 1 day each week. But effectively it's 20% of the time is off the job and 80% is on the job.
And a course has to be approved by an employer group, and the university or college has to work closely with that employer group, and the student has to be employed. So there are quite distinct areas, boundaries, aren't there?
There are, and I think that's very important, lest we again revert to an academic model. There are lots of examples around the world where you have sandwich courses where the individual might be employed and going off to university to do a degree, but they're not integrated and interrelated, and the content within the degree is not related and determined by the employer.
And are there fees attached?
There are no fees for the apprentice. The apprentice is paid while studying, and the cost of the tuition fees are picked up by the government. In the UK also, in England, we've just introduced an apprenticeship levy, which provides an amount of the funding required to underwrite the degree apprenticeships. So large employers with a payroll of over £3 million per year pay 0.5% of that payroll to an apprenticeship levy, which they then can reclaim for the costs of the training in the apprenticeship.
Goodness, this is a really dramatic shift. No debt for the student at all. Stephen Parker, would this be good in an Australian context?
I certainly think it needs looking at. I've been following it since it was first announced. I think Australian higher or tertiary education is getting itself into a right old muddle. The business model of its institutions is not sustainable in the long term. And we have a looming skills crisis as well. And also, I think it is time that we reconceptualise the difference between academic and vocational learning. And so possibly nothing overseas directly translates, but it's definitely something I think we should have a good hard look at.
Why is this necessary to reconceptualise it?
Well, if you look at our university system, there is more and more work-integrated learning sort of tacked on, bolted onto degrees, which is actually becoming quite expensive. But the employment rate of graduates seems to be going down. The premium on gaining a degree is certainly going down. In other words, the earnings advantage. So at the university end, I think things are heading into trouble. And then, as you've intimated, our TAFE system's been through terrible woes over the years. Some now offer degrees but don't have full access to the student loan scheme. It's all a bit of a mess. And we're heading towards a future world of work caused, no doubt, by the so-called fourth industrial revolution. And we're not doing anything to redesign our tertiary system to equip us for it. So something like this, I think, needs a good hard look. It flips the model. It has training and on-the-job experience first, but co-designed with universities so that the study wraps around it. I think it's got a lot, at least, to be investigated.
I think you wrote recently, the future of work is about skills more than knowledge. That's a very big statement.
It is. I'm not alone in making it. So there are numerous lists of so-called 21st century skills that are going to be required. And as more and more routine jobs and rule-based tasks are replaced by automation, robots, machine learning and so on, it's going to be the skills of critical thinking, resilience, emotional intelligence and so on that are going to be keeping people in satisfying work. So skills are rising to the surface, if you like, in priority, and knowledge, which is out of date so quickly these days, is going to reside in systems and automation and so on. So it's back to the qualities of the person. And I don't see university degrees particularly getting ready for that kind of shift.
Gee, Martin Dole, I don't know, where's knowledge in all that? And I suppose knowledge and wisdom and insight, which I thought used to be the yield of a good education at the university.
I think those still things will still occur in a university. I think we're talking about something that complements the traditional model. The way I think I like to think about it is that if you're in the workplace and you're learning a set of skills, you're then going off to the college or the university to have the theoretical tools and the conceptual tools to be able to understand your experience, to reinterpret it, and then become innovative in the workplace. So if I learned to fly when I was in the Air Force, I was taught how to fly by somebody showing me how to fly the aircraft. When I landed, I was introduced to the theories of aeronautics and actually the physics that underwrote why I was flying, which enabled me then, when I went back to continue to learn to fly, to reinterpret my experience and to build on it and to actually get better in what I was doing with the integrated nature of the learning and using the theory to actually understand my practice in the workplace. And that's, I think, the really critical thing about a new approach to this. It's, and in Stephen's kind of language, it's the knowledge and skills being integrated and one supporting the other in a way which doesn't occur in a traditional academic degree.
you were Vice Chancellor of the University of Canberra, Stephen, for 9 years until last year. Would you have liked to offer a course like this apprenticeship degree?
Yeah, and like some other universities, we were heading in that direction with more practicums and internships and campus development that would bring employers onto campus so that students could work with them as part of their course. So, you know, we were evolving, I think, rapidly in that direction. But that would have been grafting it onto the existing system. So students would still have been graduating with, I think, crippling levels of debt. I think a generation of young Australians is going to be saddled with something awful. And this is a new kind of idea which is co-funded by government and employers. And I think it's that which attracts me. And I fully agree with Martin about the integration of the theory and the experience together. This sort of praxis-based approach, I think, has got a lot to commend it.
In fact, the University of Tasmania, we notice, is now offering a modified degree. It's called an associate degree. It's cheaper and quicker. Do you know how that's going?
Well, they haven't started, as I understand it. And there are some other associate degrees around the country, but in many respects, they are just the first 2 years of a bachelor degree. What I understand about the UK or England and Wales' degree apprenticeships is, as Martin was saying, that it is based in the workplace and that study is wrapped around and integrated with it. Now, that isn't necessarily an associate degree, but an associate degree might be a good framework to try it.
See, Martin, you have strong... Go on, yep.
Yeah, I might stand a little warning note here, and I think it picks up on Stephen's last remarks. If this becomes simply the case of a traditional university degree being broken down to a large number of modules that students study on their day off from the workplace, the day away from work, that's not it. What really must be the case is the content must be built with the employer, and the employer must be defining the standard that's required in the workplace, and the content must be optimized for that requirement. It's not simply the case of just taking a degree and delivering it to somebody who's in work. That's not a bad thing, but it's not an apprenticeship.
So what I'm hearing, Martin, is that this is very much about employers' needs. Now, I thought the whole call, almost vocation of a university, was to extend the student beyond the present day, the utilitarian needs of the society, and to actually extend them where the society didn't even necessarily know it was going. Are you sort of raffling that, are you?
I think I'm saying that the theoretical studies that the student receives or the apprentice receives on their day away from the workplace gives them those tools to reinterpret their experience and to go beyond the day-to-day practice. But that must be rooted in the today. It is an instrumental form of learning. It's not learning for its own sake. That sounds dismissive and makes it feel like lesser status. It's different. It's approached in a different manner. It's learning with a purpose rather than simply extending and developing the capacities of the learner. So the apprentice is employed. The apprentice does add extra skills to the workplace. It will be innovative, but we'll do that on the basis of real deep expertise of understanding of the job and their craft or their profession rather than from a theoretical perspective.
Interesting. I mean, Stephen, you actually write that ironically, these degree apprenticeships are a modern, more work-intensive version of the associate degrees that colleges of advanced education offered before the higher education system was unified under the Hawke government in 1989.
Yeah, there are similarities.
Sort of back to the future, is it?
Not entirely. There is something really, I think, novel and innovative about what I understand degree apprenticeships to be. But I'd go back to an earlier point you made, Geraldine. You're right, there is that ideal of a university, but there have also been parallel institutions about practical learning at the highest level. I think the Royal Polytechnic Institute in London, founded in the mid-19th century, was about practical learning at a mastery level. So, you know, there have been other traditions which possibly we've lost sight of.
Yes, in fact, I was just very quickly, there was a splendid piece by Alison Wolfe, Professor of Public Sector Management at King's College London, recently in Prospect magazine, reprinted here in Australia, in which she gave a history of the rise of the university to the extent when there are now huge numbers and huge dollars. It's quite an industry now, same in Australia. And that polytechnic system was a 50-year-long blip in history. In a way, Martin, is there a real yearning for that again?
I think there very much is, and Alison's a great colleague, and together we've used the term occasionally to call it a polytechnic-sized hole in our education system. We seem always to, in universities, to strive forward to an academic model led by research, when one that's led by teaching and by a view of real-world learning seems to be left behind. And it's interesting also, just around words, we tend now to use the term professional and technical education, rather than vocational, because in many ways the term vocational has almost become damaged in this process.
Very interesting. I think our listeners will really enjoy that conversation. I want to thank you both, Professor Stephen Parker and Professor Martin Dole.
Thank you, Geraldine.
Thank you.
And Martin is Professor of Leadership in Further Education and Skills at University College in London. Professor Stephen Parker, lead partner for education at KPMG now. And we'll post a link to that Alison Wolfe article too, reprinted in the Financial Review on August the 25th. And in fact, it has piqued your interest. We've already got some very good texts. One saying, what an interesting discussion, but not wholly new. In Sydney, the teaching of architecture courses at UTS, for instance, was always run in the manner you're discussing. Work during the day, then theory and learning dissecting done at that workplace after hours at uni. This is Anna in Melbourne. And just one more. Am I being oversensitive, Geraldine? Teaching and nursing degrees have as much or more practical component, but these female-dominated degrees charge for the privilege like a wounded bull. Yes. Interesting. I think that's really going to be a very interesting to see how that unfolds if you've been watching the sort of drama between the minister and the university leaders this week.